Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
The message I have is probably about a 40-minute message, and we're already about 10 till, and I'm just trying to see in my spirit what we need to do this morning. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump into it. We didn't mention this in the announcements, and I don't know how it missed, but next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday, we're going to deal with the spirit of adoption. The word of the Lord came not last week, week before, about there are some of you struggling with your identity in God because you've never actually allowed the spirit of adoption to come upon you. You feel like you're isolated. You feel like you're alone. You feel like the struggles. And so next Sunday, we're going to be laying hands on and ministering. And let me just share with you, I'm going to work. And we'll put out a call and I'll let you know. But I feel like there's some of you need to be, with the spirit of adoption coming upon you, you're going to need to be water baptized. So we're going to work to see if we can facilitate that. And Matt, I need you to get in touch with me, Matt Koss, there's something we need to work on to facilitate that. But next Sunday is going to be a real big day.
And I know that the prayer teams, we were supposed to meet next Sunday night on the 22nd as well, but that's been moved back a week to March the 1st. So we're not meeting next week. It'll be March the 1st. And you've got an email that I sent out telling you that, and it's also the new assignment list.
And I'm going to be there just sharing some things prophetically, but also laying hands on you and commissioning. If you're not part of our prophetic healing teams and you desire to be, it's not too late. You can come to this, you know, with it. You need to see Vicky. We need more and more people for that. I'm switching mics. Oh, am I on now? Am I up? Am I broadcasting? I'm up? Okay, I couldn't tell. I'm going to get into this word a little bit because I really feel like the Lord has shown me that I can even tie it into the spirit of adoption next week. And so I want to talk with you today about, let me get my Bible and begin with a scripture there that I didn't put in my notes. But I want to talk with you about the ecclesia. I want you to be honest with me. When I use the word ecclesia, how many of you really feel like you've got a handle on what it means? Okay. Very few of you are holding your hands up. Well, let me just share with you. The word ecclesia is a Greek word that the church has been taught for hundreds of years now that it means the word church. Number one, I'm going to bring out to you in this teaching, it's not the word church. It actually has been taught, it means to be called out. And when the, can I be made today? I don't know why I ask you, I'm going to. But anyway, when the rapture nonsense, how many of that, does that trouble you? Well, let me tell you what rapture nonsense is. Anything that talks about us being called out of this world and leaving it to go to hell in a handbasket, an escapism mindset, that's nonsense. His word is, occupy till I come. That's the word of the Lord does. And so what happened was because they taught that the word ecclesia means called out, they begin to use it, tied it into the rapture, which it, how many of you realize the rapture is a non-biblical word? The proper word is the second coming of the Lord. He's coming and I belong to him. And when he comes, I'm going to be his. But the rapture teaches we're going to be jerked out of the earth, go to be with him, and then come right back, you know, after a period of time. That's not what's really in Scripture, and that's a total different message. But in the book of Genesis, go with me to Genesis 1, and I'm going to read a Scripture there, and I'm going to quote another part previous to that. I want you to catch this because I want to show you what God is doing here at City Gate. In Genesis 1, after God created man, he looked down and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And the scripture says he created, he went into Adam and he pulled out of her a rib and he created woman. But let me tell you what God was establishing when he said it's not good to be alone. He was establishing family.
That's good.
If all you see is God giving Adam a helpmate, you're missing what God said and what God was revealing there. And so we've got to realize that God commissioned or created a family so that it could become an army.
Yes.
That was flat.
Amen.
Did he tell us or did he not in the gospel, occupy till I come? In the Greek, that term, occupy till I come, is actually, I love the Greek language because it has some things that are nautical terms. Or you can go over here, it can be athletic. Anybody ever read in God's Word where it says, put off those weights that easily beset you? That was an athletic term. That's talking about a marathon runner would train with weights on his leg, but the day of the race, it put those weights off to run. And the word occupy till I come means do business with and bring increase until I return. It actually, I can go into the root word of it where he gave some talents. You know, one servant 5 talents and one servant 10 talents and one servant 1 talent. Are you with me? And so we've got to understand the ecclesia. God is equipping and raising up here at City Gate in ecclesia. He's called us to be family. That's the reason we call it shareholders. How many of you come from somewhat of a family background that if you come especially from a larger family, y'all work together to do things? I know that families have become fragmented. I know that families have become dysfunctional. I know that all of this is going on, but God called us to work together as family. And he called you. I mean, that's where communities would come together and have barn raising. They would come together and they would build things. And God is wanting us to understand that out of family you get community, but that community needs to become an army. Back during the Revolutionary War, the Minutemen, the Patriots. How many of you saw Mel Gibson in The Patriot? A lot of truth in that movie. I'm a history. The only man I know that's more of a history man than I am is maybe Dan Billman on the front row here, but I'm a history person. Even where in that movie it shows how they put people inside of a church and set on fire and burnt. That's actually historical. That took place. But the ones that grabbed their muskets and stood up first were pastors. And can I say this for my African-American friends here? Some of them were even black or African-American pastors that begin to rally the patriots together because they understood what the Church of England was trying to do in limitation, and they begin to stand up. How many of you know that a good Brit or a good person from England does not like iced tea? They like their hot tea. I forgot we got someone from Canada here. I have to be careful. But can I tell you why they don't like iced tea? Because the first iced tea ever made was in the Boston Harbor. That was funnier than you thought it was. I want you to catch this. God is raising up here at City Gate and across this territory, the ecclesia. The ecclesia doesn't mean called out from something. It means called to something. They were called. The town crier would send a word to them to gather at the city gate, and they would legislate God's will. And once that group of wiser men, and I'm on, actually it didn't have women in that day, but I'm including that, they would come together and then they would begin to legislate what heaven's will was into the earth. The town crier would take their decision and run the wall of the city and declare it to all of the city. Are you seeing something here today? And so I want us to get on this page of understanding that we're not here to be your warm and fuzzy church gathering. I want to be here to encourage you. I want to help you walk through. But I want to equip you so that you can go out and be a patriot today and see this nation turn back to God.
Hallelujah.
I want some of you to get the fire in your spirit and run for the school board. I want some of you to get the fire in your bosom that you're going to get into law enforcement, or you're going to get into government. You're going to get into something, because that's where we can make a change. Let me tell you something. The problem in the Memphis school system is the whole thing's been turned over to bureaucracy. There's a book that I've got somewhere. Someone just bought it. In fact, I mentioned it, and they told me they bought it and read it. It was good. It's called about from barbarians to bureaucrats. Listen, what we need is a barbaric, patriotic spirit in this nation that says we can make a difference from the grassroots. You can make a difference. Thank God for Judge Roy Moore from Alabama? I'm not going to get into this message like I want to, but I'm going to share something down my heart. How many of you believe that we are a democracy? Hold your hand up. How many of you understand we're actually a republic of democracy? And it's a total different concept. For the federal government telling us that we have to abide by their rulings and not state ruling is a violation of our Constitution, and it's a violation of the way that we were established as a nation. And Judge Roy Moore in the state of Alabama has now told all of the revenue offices don't sell any marriage licenses to people of the same sex. There's actually a movement beginning to rise in Mississippi for the same thing. You say, but they're render unto Caesar's what Caesar. Let me just tell you something. That only means if it lined up with kingdom. I'm not trying to back. Listen, I can love a homosexual couple or a homosexual person or a lesbian person, however that you want to say it. I can love them unconditionally, but that doesn't mean that I have to be in agreement with their lifestyle. And let me just share something with you. The church needs to deal with fornication.
Yes.
It ain't shacking up. It's fornication.
That's right.
The church needs to deal with adultery.
Yes.
Anything besides being with your spouse. Your spouse is adultery. I'm going to preach it harder this year. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But our young people they will tell you that our society is saying, don't do as we do as we say.
Yes, preach.
And it's not 50 shades of gray, it's 50 shades of demonic. You don't need that filth in your mind. I appreciate some. I've seen some of your postings and appreciate it. I also know there's someone out away from here. I want to say this away from here that's on a probationary time in their ordination, and I saw where they were going to it and encouraging other people to go to it. And if I'm called in, which I've already been called in, to make a final decision on their ordination, they're going to be stripped. I believe leaders should set an example.
Yes, amen.
I'm not mean-spirited. I understand the temptations of life. I understand what we wrestle against. But I understand, how can we expect our nation to turn when the house of God is filled with compromise? How can we expect God to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we think or ask? You do not know the countless numbers of women. And please, let me just share something with you. There is forgiveness after sin. I am not picking on. I do not want to shame anyone, but you do not know the countless women that we have counseled over 30-some years of ministry who have compromised to get a man, and then once they got him, they got junk. And it works the other way. Let me examine the room. The old saying in my day was, if you're getting the milk, you don't want to buy the cow. Let me just tell you, Susan, give me permission to share. If I've handled millions of dollars all my life. Really, the Lord gave me a caution. Don't go into business. When I came into the five-fold call that's on my life, he said, I don't want you to go back into business. I can make money. And there are some people that can stand on a business mountain and the religious mountain. I'm not one of those. I've got a territory. I've got a Mississippi River basin to see transition for God, and I've got to focus on it. But if Jesus Christ would come and stand right here where every one of you could see and have a talk with me and say, I'll give you anything out of your past life. You can have one thing out of your past life with it. It wouldn't be all the money. You know, it wouldn't be the 17 corporations my dad and I at one time owned and all the money would come off that. Can I tell you what I'd want? This is the one thing. If he would come and offer me that, I'd want to enter into my marriage covenant with her as a virgin. Because the impure acts and the impure relationships and all of the stuff that seemed like it was good. Let me just tell you, the old saying is, if you sow wild oats, I had a big harvest. And it kept coming against my mind and things that I saw and things that I did and things that I experienced. And it caused us more problems in our marriage than anything else. And it took me years to get to a place of purity to where it didn't. I can tell you where I was. The last time that a battle of that nature came in any major form whatsoever, I was south of Holly Grove, Arkansas, near a place called Deep Ellum, which means nothing to you, just north of Ragtown. This doesn't mean anything to you. And I passed by a place where I committed adultery. And for a fleeting moment, my mind started going there. And I rebuked him. And can I tell you something? He went back and reported to his commanding officer, that demon of lust, that demon of perversion, everything that it was. And he said, I've gone to Clay Nash over and over and over and over, and he won't yield to those thoughts. And let me tell you what he said to his commander, please assign me to a weaker vessel. Hallelujah. And I won that day. I was headed to Monroe, Louisiana to start a tent revival. And I want to tell you, when I passed by that place, I won that day. And I'm telling you, God wants you to become a winner. Yeah. When the fear, I've said this recently, when the fear of God comes back into the church, not a fear of him hurting you, not even a fear of him punishing you, the fear of letting God down. When he comes back into the church in the level that God wants it to, the fear of man's going out. And you know, let me tell you something. The greatest answer to your children, to your teenagers, is get the fear of God in them. Amen. Peer pressure cannot penetrate the fear of God. Amen. Are you hearing me? Ecclesia. You can't legislate heaven's will into the earth over anything that you haven't already won your own battle with. There is not within you, inside of you, internally, an inherent nature towards sin. When you got born again, it said old things passed away, all things became new. There is an inherent nature in you to be God conscious. Let me tell you where sin comes from. Sin is all external. It's not an internal situation. It's the pride of life. Man, if I can just get that Mercedes, I can impress my neighbors. That's the pride of life. If Apostle Clay would just let me speak on Sunday. Pride of life. Second one is lust of the eyes. Now let me share something. I want to debunk something. Men, you were created to notice the beauty of women. And if any religious jerks ever told you that you only notice the beauty of your wife, they lied. You were created to notice the beauty of women. It's not to be go beyond that. See, religion wants to put you in a box that you can't live in, so you feel condemned all the time. But when kingdom truth like this is released, I tell my wife all the time. In fact, I can't say who it was, but we were talking recently about someone. I told Susan, I said, that woman is drop dead gorgeous. But her spirit is, her beauty is, everything about her. Did that bother you that I said that? We have these kind of discussions. Years ago, I happened to overhear a conversation with Susan and our son Dean. And Dean was pretty young, and Susan told him, she didn't know I heard, she told him, she said, see if you can find out from your dad what he wants for Christmas. So Dean and I were together one day, and I said, Dean, I'd just like to tell you, in case Mom or any of y'all looking for something for Christmas, I just want to make a suggestion. Boy, he didn't let me know what his mother had said. And I said, you need to tell her I want a Meg Ryan for Christmas. She had just come out, I think, Sleepless in Seattle or one of those movies, with that. And, I thought she was cute. I didn't want Meg Ryan. But see, when you have healthy relationship with your spouse, you're able to talk about things like that and it not cause the problems. I want you to have kingdom marriages. I don't want you to just be married. And let me just tell you, for you men, don't get around this woman of God over here and call your wife your old lady. She not only will rebuke you, she will kick you back into hell where you came from. I mean, she goes ballistic on that. And rightfully so. She's not my old lady. This is my friend. This is my wife. This is my relational covenant partner. This is my lover. This is all of those, yes. And God brought us together. I want you to understand that. And it's important that we know this, but it's important that we rise up we understand he's knitting a family today. Jack and Nancy Lofton are from Arkansas, and that just touches me right there because I've got such roots there. But they're, I told them today, y'all are family. Amen. It's a tough farm year, isn't it, Jack? Farmers are faced with something this year they haven't been faced in some time and everything with that. And I went to him, and I just loved on them both today because I want them to know your battles aren't bad. I'm so rooted into the agriculture and farming of Arkansas. It's in me. Jack, you probably don't know this, but you know what an Edens grain cart is? My grandfather built the first one, and Mr. Edens came up from Stuttgart and looked at it. I mean, this is true. We still have it. It's still on the farm over there. I know this. When I see the plight that they're going through, it tears my heart out. But see, we're family here, but we're not just called, Steve Lewis, just to be family. We're called to become an army, to go and make a difference. Wherever you work, wherever it is that you give your heart and soul and you get paid from, God puts you there as a ecclesia so that you can rule and reign. Have a spiritual son who now proclaims he's an agnostic and has divorced his wife and just, crazy stuff. And it breaks my heart. But years ago, and some of you know who I'm talking about, from the story because you've heard me tell it, and I used his name. I'm not going to, but he worked for Clorox in Dyersburg. And they told him, said, you can't advance anymore without having a college degree. And so he was working very long shifts and doing this and helping with the church. And he was actually a Bible college graduate and da-da-da-da-da. And I could tell there was not harmony in his marriage. I mean, it didn't take a prophet to understand it. She sat on this side of the church one Sunday and he was on the other side. And so I drew them in to see what was up, and we began to talk to them, and we found out because he would work all day and go to school every night trying to get this degree. And I said, why are you back in college? What's going on? You already got this degree here and that. And he said, well, I can't advance with the company without it. And I said, why? He said, what do you mean why? I said, why? He said, because that's the company rules. I said, why as a person of the kingdom do you let the company rules confine you? I'm not telling you smoke and mirror junk stories. I'm telling you the reality of how the kingdom works. I'm not limited by anything except the King. And I got news for you. When he hung on the cross and said, it is finished, he took every limitation off of me. I'm not talking about your pipe dreams. I'm talking about finding out what his will is and connecting in that. This spiritual son dropped out of college. Within 5 months, they gave him the raise and the promotion without the degree. Yes, Lord. Now, can I share something with you? He prayed it through and heard God, and God said, you don't need that. That's all he said to him. He said, you don't need it. No, he didn't need it. You know, he wasn't on that raise and that promotion probably a year and a half, and we sent him out into ministry. In a town of about 4,000, he built the second largest church in that town. I want you to hear. When you come into understanding the ecclesia, Watchman Nee said in his book, when you're praying to know the will of God, you're praying from earth into heaven. But once you know the will of God, you're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, and you're declaring from heaven back into the earth. Can I just help some of you? Somebody here in the room is going to think I'm just talking to them. I'm not. Sylvia's a daughter I'm going to pick up. I'm talking to all the single women in this room. The reason he ain't come along is you're asking God you're asking God to do something that you need to start declaring. It is God's will for you single women, Rita, to have a godly man in your life to take care of you, to check that oil in that car, to get it repaired so you don't have to worry about it, to help raise your son. And when I don't know where all that's at, but in the absence of his father being there, this is the will of God. But quit asking God to do what he already wants to do for you and start declaring he's on his way.
Yes.
Anybody here a fisher? You like fish? Steve Lewis, you like fish, don't you? You kin to Michael McKinney, I know you do, because Michael would rather fish than eat. Anybody ever went to some little pond or, you know, just a little body of water and fish there? What do you catch? I call them trash fish, you know, old pollywog, you know. Maybe you'll catch a drum or you'll catch a carp, or you're not going to catch, you know, my friend Ed Walker, he's a fisherman. You know what I'm talking about. You got to get to where there, number one, you got to get to where there's some flow in. Even if it's a lake, it has to be fed from time to time. The best lakes to fish on, the one that when the rivers get out, they replenish them. Let me just help you. I'm talking to men and women. You fish in the wrong ponds, you catch trash. We were at the monster truck, whatever it's called, last night. Carried our grandson there, and it was great, and we enjoyed it. I thought Susan was going to get us thrown out. She was hollering so loud for the woman driver, who I think won. But I couldn't help but just my heart breaking as the young girls who were dressed so not modest that were advertising – This is better preaching than your amening. You can look modern and you can dress and you can without advertising. I didn't know, I thought the miniskirt was back in last night. I mean, why would you go to a monster truck pull and dress that short? Yeah, no, 40 degree, it was about 36 degree weather. I'm not meddling, I'm just talking to you. Can some of you more mature ladies, we need to model and discuss. And can I tell you something? Those of you ladies in this room that are prudish and Victorian, you need to change too.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, that's right. They don't go to this church. I'm going to close with this. I didn't get into my message. I'll teach it when it's right and when I can go all the way through the PowerPoint. But here's what I want you to catch. I hope you want to go with us. I hope you want to be a part. I hope you want to help us. I hope you'll stay. I hope you won't let message like this run you off. But I want you to know we are a family that is becoming an army. And if you're not willing to be part of the army, come and be the crowd here. Come and assemble with us, gather with us when we gather and with it. But we're going to assemble an army. And we're going to assemble an army that can make a difference. We're going to assemble an army that we can accomplish the will of God. We're going to assemble an army so that we can see the will of God done. Because I'm telling you, there are principalities over this area that must be pulled down. Why do you think I'm pulling Tim Sheets in here? Because when you hear this message, anybody here heard his message on War Eagles? Anybody? Have you? Or, I'm just telling you. I mean, did it excite you as much as it did me? It will equip you to understand what we're to accomplish. The first prophetic word that was ever spoke over my life. Well, that's not exactly true. The first prophetic word that was spoke directly to me over my life, the woman said to me, he said, "You're called to be a war eagle." 1983 at a James Robinson conference. And God had spoke to her 4 months before the conference, said, "My servant, a war eagle, is going to be there." We'd never even heard a prophetic word like that. There were other prophetic things declared over my life, like the lady that when I was paralyzed, they kept saying, "He's going to be healed and preach the gospel all over the world." I understand those were prophetic now. But this woman came and she spoke in tongue, and then she interpreted her tongue, and she spoke that I was called to be a war eagle. But I got news for you. What I've discovered, we're not the rarity. You're called to be a war eagle. You're called. You're called. You're called. You're called. Every one of you are called to be a war eagle, because it's going to take the war eagles, the remnant from within the remnant, that we're going to swoop down and pick off that enemy like Dan was talking about today when he is trying to overcome the weaker vessels. No condemnation to anything I said today. If you've had a time that you slipped into sin, put it on the blood. And then forgive yourself and move on. It really is just that simple. Now, let me just tell you, 1 John 1:9, which says, if you ask to be forgiven, he's just and faithful to forgive your sin, is not a get out of jail free card. You understand? God is not near as concerned with sin as man is. He is very concerned with habitual sin. Let me tell you why he's concerned with habitual sin. Let me paint you a picture. Not in this house here, but years ago in ministry, we had a man that was part of the church that we were leading, and he traveled in business. He was like a traveling salesman. And one night he was somewhere and he overindulged in alcohol and his senses became weak and he became lustful and he committed adultery. And the next morning when he woke up, you know who he called? Me. He was convicted. He wanted to make it right. He confessed what he had done. Let me tell you what confession does. It allowed light to go into dark places. And through the process of that, I can tell you, I walked with that man for many, many years past that. He never went back into that. Let me just share something with you, with the point I'm trying to make it. When you commit habitual sin, you sear your conscience with a hot iron. It begins with a simple compromise. And it builds into something greater. Stand to your feet. Please. I just hear one other thing, and I'm gonna pose it as a question. When the scripture says, be holy as I am holy, or if I would use the term holiness, what does that mean to you? Anybody ever studied that word to see what the root word of that word, where it comes from? What? Wholeness? Yeah. It actually is talking about being made whole by being in Him completely.
Praise God.
The word actually, we could define it as W-H-O-L-L-Y.
Wow.
Holy being in Him. And so what I want you to catch is we're not preaching a legalistic message here. It's not about not wearing makeup or wearing makeup. It's not about having, I don't know what the shirt's made of one thing. This vest is made of something else. My trousers are made. My jeans are made of something else. It's not about yielding to the law. It's about being complete in Him. Holiness is not about being set apart from sin. It's about being set apart unto Him. The more that I have over the years have become set apart unto Him, the more that sin does not have dominion over my life. In Romans 6:14, it says that. I want you to leave here encouraged today. I don't want you to leave here ashamed. Have you fallen? Put it under the blood. Get up. Don't yield to it.